Oh, it's that time again. Great Lakes Brewery presents the most stupendous backlash after show. After show? After party? After this goes off the air, I'm going to eat so many things that I don't want to talk about right now. Okay, it's Sunday night's main event. And here's your host, Mike McGuire and Boris Aguilar.
Oh, hi. Welcome to the Sunday night's main event post show, the post after party. That's the other guys do the post show. We can't do that. Welcome to the after party. Yeah. Honestly, it's like we all know everybody exists, but let's talk about the one thing we love talking about, and that is wrestling. I'm Mike McGuire. Joining me is Boris Roberto Aguilar. Hello, sir.
Hello. How's it going?
Tremendous. Tremendous. No better or worse than it was 5 minutes ago when we started up this stream. And thank you to everybody that's joining us. Thanks to Great Lakes Brewery as well for bringing you this show, as well as everything else we do on the SNME Radio Network, as well as, of course, Patreon patrons like you, wherever you are. I swear I haven't had a drop of anything yet, but in celebrating with our sponsor, Boris, I did pull another can of the many cans, which Jason Agnew sent me upon joining the team. This is Hops for Hunger. This is a white eggnog stout.
Yes, yes.
What month is it now?
It is May, and that was released in November, December.
Okay. What do you think my shelf life is on this?
You're fine. We'll find out tomorrow when you're in the car.
Package? Yeah. I'm only driving across Canada starting tomorrow morning. But, I waited too long on this. Packaged on November 30th, 2021. Very clearly written, though. So, by no means will any negative reaction be the fault of our great sponsors at Great Lakes. It's just me being too damn slow to drink a holiday beer. But on that note, to you, Boris, to Mark Andrada, to everybody on the Patreon feed as well, and to everybody watching us on YouTube.
Here's cheers.
Here's to you.
Excellent. Oh, yeah.
You know, again, I said it before last time. I'm not a beer guy, but this stuff works.
Yes, this stuff honestly, works. The Great Lakes stuff is great.
It's light. It's got a hint of that eggnoggy taste, which I honestly was grossed out when I read the label. I was like, I love eggnog, but do I like it with beer? And turns out I do. So there you go. Please drink responsibly.
So that is the specific beer that I drank during the best and worst of recording. I had about five or six of those throughout that morning.
And eventually even the worst of became the best of.
Exactly.
Well, you know
now
what?
You know
we were
the trick.
Kind of expecting a bit of a worst of show tonight. I don't think we got that. I think that I was talking to Dave Meltzer earlier on today for the main show. And the common belief between the two of us was that this could either be kind of a bust with a lot of people not watching due to the celebratory day today of Mother's Day, or it could be something where the crowd's engaged and the wrestlers are engaged, and I think that's kind of what we got. We'll get to the show in just a bit here, but I know he likes to push the buttons and hit the boopies and the boppies and the everything else, but Mark Andrada is here as well, and I feel that your presence needs to be acknowledged, so we will acknowledge he. Say hi to everybody, Mr. Andrada.
Hi.
See, we went for the backlash crowd lighting, mm-hmm. and it's Edge Andrada tonight.
It is. That's what I was going for.
Yes.
Edge Drada.
Edge Drada. That works too. Markian Priest? No.
Markian Priest.
Markian Priest.
Markian Priest is the please Markian go there. Yes. Markian Priest. Boris is not having any of this.
No,
Markian
no,
Priest, please. Yes.
This bit isn't working, guys. Let's move on.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Not at all.
Wow. When Boris is cutting a bit, you know it's not working.
Exactly.
When Boris said, you know what? I think this might be going on too long. Maybe it's gone on too long. Jeepers. Well, again, welcome everybody. If you are one of the patrons and you are in the chat room, feel free to spout off anytime you like. I will try my best to read them, but Boris will read them religiously and meticulously, as will Edge Drada tonight, because I took the notes. Yeah. Yay, notes. Yeah.
This is always the job on this side.
This is This is the thing that nobody ever wants to do. So I'm like, fine, I'll take the notes. Jeepers. Anyway, from J-Dub in Dallas. So thanks for the shout out. Absolutely, man. Yeah, there was a big shout out to Frisco, Texas and the Frisco Rough Riders. So here's the story before we get into backlash here. So I've been trying to do more patron shout outs. I didn't get to do it this week, and it's not out of ignorance. I'm going to have a lot more time once I'm on the road, but I've been prepping for this road trip for about a month now, because I'm literally going across Canada and then back up through the States to come home. It's for personal reasons, which I've talked about on other shows we won't get into here. But safe to say, it's going to be a time of discovery. And I have this big case here, my Money in the Bank briefcase. This is literally going to be my production studio in a briefcase. So everything that I'm using here in my home office and home studio setup is going into that box and going across Canada and the U.S. But I bring this up only because I was talking about people in different places I was going to be visiting, and then one place I wanted to visit was where J-Dub is, and that is down in Frisco, Texas, home of the Frisco Rough Riders. They're a minor league baseball team, but first of all, they're called the Rough Riders, which I live in Saskatchewan, which automatically you wear anything that says Rough Riders, you know, you can rob a bank and the stuff, and they'll be like, oh, give him a minute, he's a rider guy. But the Frisco Rough Riders, a few years ago, they had like an 80s night, and they brought in Ernie Hudson and an Ecto-1, and they made like a Ghostbusters Frisco Riders jersey. So Boris, what I'm saying is, I need to get my hands on a Frisco Riders, Rough Riders, Ghostbusters jersey.
That's awesome. Rough Riders.
It's the best things put together. So yeah, big shout out to everybody wherever you are. And we'll get back to the patron shout outs on the regular episodes as well. But Boris, how are you? Tell us about your side of the fence. How are things looking down there as we share our blue lighting tonight?
I'm doing really good. Really good. Had a lot of fun. You know, busy day with it being Mother's Day and everything. So I had a couple places to go. But for the show, you know, honestly, I know we're going to get into it, but I went in with the lowest of the low expectations with this show. And I think a lot of people,
good plan,
right? Like,
yep.
You know, as Jason Agnew always says, a pessimist is seldomly disappointed. So that was my attitude going in. And honestly, it was a fun show. You know, it had its moments that I wouldn't say was good, but overall, it was fine. Have fun. And here we are chatting some backlash with the group.
Not just backlash, but WrestleMania backlash. Should we get into the show? Or what do we
do
here?
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's get into it.
Let's to quote one of my favorite podcasts, Crime and Sports, if you ever listen to that, or Small Town Murder. Same guys host both of them. James Petrichello is one of the hosts. He's a big wrestling fan, too. So I'm going to do what James says to his partner, Jimmy, and say, Boris, let's go on a trip, shall we?
Let's.
All right. We are headed to Providence, Rhode Island tonight, where WrestleMania backlash kicks off. And it kicks off with a nice promo video package. And you think to yourself, wow, there's no possible way they could do a package like this for every match. This is going to be a one-time thing we see tonight. Boy, if you thought that, you were wrong. But we did get a nice lead-in into the show. And then finally, our first match of the night, we find out we're jumping right into the fire with this. Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, the WrestleMania rematch. What do you think of the decision to put that match first on the card?
It made sense. You know, the first card is the match that you want people to get really behind. You want the hot crowd. You want everyone to just be excited. And I think that if you look up and down this card outside of the six-man tag, this was probably the match that had the most hype around it. So it kind of made sense. And especially after they, you know, quote-unquote stole the show at WrestleMania, you know, it made sense to me to put this first.
Yeah. Rollins comes in with his usual pomp and circumstance. Not as much singing along, at least not what I could tell. But they were still singing along, obviously, because that's what you do in wrestling these days. You either cheer, boo, or sing along. Then we get to Cody's entrance, which, if you've been joining me with Mr. Andrada or whoever else has been filling in on the midweek markout, you might notice that I've taken a bit of task to Cody's entrance over the last couple weeks because they keep screwing it up. They keep screwing it up. It seemed, though, tonight we got the A-team when it came to the production crew. Everybody hit their cues properly. Cody didn't almost eat 1,000 sparks to the face. He does the whoa. The fireworks go off. And we got ourselves a Cody Rhodes entrance for the ages. And, Yeah, he gets in there. I don't know. Crowd seemed a little flat to me still. And I don't know why that is, but he's like, he's working his ass off to try and get these fans off their feet and get them talking and get them cheering. And, you know, it's kind of like a polite, yay, Cody. Yep. Is it just me, or did they seem kind of out of it at the start here?
They did. They really did. It wasn't a hot crowd that you would expect. Like, even once right before the match started, you know, you got a couple Cody chants, but they were sporadic. You can tell that they were spread out. They weren't in unison. Yeah, the crowd was kind of out of it to start. But you know what it is? Quickly changed.
It's all that Mother's Day heavy dining.
Mimosa? That's what the bottomless mimosas.
Apparently that's what happened at Boris's house today, so that's good. But anyway, we continue with the match. Cody begins with the offense, gets a run around the ring with Rollins getting the advantage. Kind of the old standby spot there. Rollins goes to toss Rhodes into the steps on the outside. Rhodes reverses. Seth is staggering after that. And then Rhodes goes for disaster kick once they're both back in the ring, but Rollins pushes Cody over the top rope. Cody lands on his feet, but kind of sits there for a second and says, all right, that's what we're going to do. We get back in the ring. There's a little tussle around. Cody Cutter comes out of nowhere, but you can't say that because that's the other guy's thing. And all of a sudden, we get a kick out at two from the Cody Cutter. Okay. Rollins doesn't get a stomp or a pedigree in. Cody also misses out on a crossroads and a pedigree. Basically, nobody can hit a pedigree until Rollins does, but kick out at two. We continue with some more shenanigans. Rhodes gets a crossroads in. Then we have a roll-up reversed by Rhodes as Rollins manages to get him rolled up in there. We saw a handful of tights from Rollins. Rhodes definitely has a handful of tights. Gets the pin at 20:52. This match went long, and the babyface cheated to win. Boris.
Yeah, you know, classic Cody Rhodes, really. Like, this is, I don't know, like, it made me laugh in the sense that you have, you know, they're trying to create this super big baby face in Cody Rhodes right now, right? But yet, he grabs the tights to win. It's like the ultimate Hulk Hogan tactic right there. So I don't know what the deal was with that. Strange decision, but I'm going to let it go. You know, it's like, you know, I used the way that you were going to beat me to beat you type thing. I don't get it, but sure, whatever. I know Matt Smith somewhere is swearing, throwing stuff, angry, but yeah, Cody won.
Yeah, let us know what you thought of any of these matches in the chat room too, guys. We'll read your comments for sure. But we continue on with the show. Crowd is hot now. They're up, they're moving, they're feeling good. What better thing to do than to play another 3.5 minute long video package promoting the next match, which is what they do. Now, the story is Bobby Lashley versus Omos. We know the turn from MVP turning on Lashley. We set up that whole story again that we just saw at WrestleMania. So it is a WrestleMania rehash as we get into the match of Bobby Lashley versus Omos. Now, seeing these two in the ring, and after Omos is out there, Bobby Lashley standing on his cake twirler there, he comes to the ring. But Lashley legitimately looks like a cruiserweight going against a regular size wrestler in this, which kind of made for an interesting dynamic. Omos is turning Lashley into pudding for most of the match. MVP gets some distractions in. Lashley hops up on Omos's back to try and get a sleeper in. But Omos flips Lashley over his shoulder and down. MVP gets the distraction in again. Lashley then goes after MVP and almost gets the hurt lock in, but Omos breaks that up, pulls Lashley into the ring, but Lashley manages to hit a flatliner. The hurt lock on Omos, but Omos does the thing where he runs him into the corner. The referee breaks up the hold, and then MVP gets a cheap shot in on Lashley. Omos hits the double-handed chokeslam, and we have the pin at 8:54. Your winner is Omos.
Yep. Remember in the start of the show when you asked me what I thought, and I said some stuff was good, some stuff wasn't. This was just one of those things that I really, honestly, didn't really care for. I guess...
Why not?
It was better than the WrestleMania match, but sure, whatever.
I don't know, man. I mean, to me, it's at least an attempt at having the feud mean a little something now with MVP involved. The distraction is obviously going to be the big part of this. You got to remember, we're doing simple storytelling here. We sometimes complain about matches getting too complicated, too crazy, too over the top. The story was, Omos is going to crush you, but MVP is going to help.
Yeah. Sure. I get that. I don't know. It's that 50-50 booking that kind of gets to me. And I have to remember it's WWE. It's going to be convoluted. And like, I'm not saying it's bad per se. It's not for me.
Well, we'll see if this next match was for you, because again, we have a crowd that is still paying attention at this point. Let's hit them with another promo package. Every man, and I know they've done this for other pay-per-views. I know they've done this for every other show, but for some reason tonight, these just seemed longer and draggier.
You know what it was, Mike?
What?
It was the fact that this pay-per-view, again, it was just our hearts weren't in it to really watch it, right? Like, there was just for many reasons. So I felt like, all the extras just felt longer than they normally do.
Boy, if I had a nickel. Let's move on then. The next match is Edge versus AJ Styles. I hope Andrade's laughing at that one, if nobody else. Edge versus AJ Styles. Now, Damian Priest has been banned from ringside for this contest. Getting the thumbs up from Andrade right now. That makes me smile. That's all I needed tonight, pal. Thank you. We have these two working a match as you'd expect. This is kind of like the WrestleMania match again, only Edge is a lot more evil this time around, doing a lot more dirty-handed stuff, looking a little more crazy, a little more psycho, which is good because that's what he needs to do with this ridiculous over-the-top character. They work outside. Styles actually has most of the advantage. He's doing the talk about the Hulk Hogan spots, Boris does, slamming Edge into the barricade and the table and everything else at ringside, and nobody cares. Everybody's loving it. Like, yeah, screw him up. He then tosses Edge into the ring, and Edge pulls the Orange Cassidy spot. I love it. Rolls in one side, rolls out the other. Again, didn't quite do it as slowly or as hilariously as our boy Orange Cassidy would do, but he gets out there. Styles meets him trying to come back into the ring, though. Hits him with a drop kick back to the outside, and then, haven't seen this in a little while. Haven't seen one in person in a long time. Acai Moonsault.
Yep.
Love it. Remember when the Acai Moonsault was like, holy cow! And now it's just a once in a while thing. But that move still scares me.
Like a lot of moves. The evolution of wrestling, right? It's like what used to be a finisher is just, cool.
Yeah, and again, shout out to my buddy, the Iceman, Eric Fries. He was an independent wrestler in Western Canada, and he hit one of those, but he slipped on the middle rope, and that was basically the end of his wrestling career. He was okay afterwards, but just, not worth the risk again. So, again, big credit to a guy like AJ Styles, especially at this point in his career, and I'm not saying that he's old or anything, but he's still got it. He's still got it. He's hitting Acai moonsaults like that. They're selling AJ's shoulder from Mania a lot. If you remember, that was the big story in that match as well. And I don't know about you, Boris, but I found the commentary actually made this match mean more than maybe any of the scary stuff, the oogity boogie stuff did.
Yeah, 100%. I actually had that in my notes, that the commentators were on point for this match. Actually, for the whole night, but this match specifically, I feel like they were really trying to push a story forward. They kept going back to AJ's shoulder, right? Like, and that was the focus. So as you're seeing Edge beat up on this shoulder and having the commentator tell you like, oh, this has been injured for months, it's like, oh, I like this. I like this connection.
Yeah, it's almost like they were paying attention to more than what was in front of their eyes tonight, which you don't always get from some commentary teams, and others sometimes you get a little too much of it. I thought, again, they were just getting the message across that even if you're watching this match for the first time, think of it as the first time viewer. If you're seeing this for the first time, you know the story immediately. AJ's got a bad shoulder. Edge is a jerk. Okay, here we go. And we did get some of the classics in this. We got the Pele kick from AJ. Edge was being a dirty, dirty heel. Styles goes to a Ushiguroshi out of a Styles Clash attempt, which I always love saying Ushiguroshi, so that was fun. And then Edge gets the crossface onto AJ's bad shoulder. You would think that's it, but AJ reverses into a calf crusher. Let me ask you your thoughts on the calf crusher, Boris.
It's a move. It's a good one at times.
Okay.
Right? Like there's specific times that you can use it, but otherwise I'm like, does this really hurt?
I tell you something that happened tonight?
Of course.
That move got exposed big time. Do you know why?
How come?
So we have Edge in the calf crutcher, reaching for the ropes. Oh, God, the pain. He's holding his arm up. He's trying not to tap, but he's trying to reach for the rope, but he can't quite get the rope. And then, almost like a light bulb went off over his head, he just went, oh, if I twist my body 3 inches into AJ, I can grab his head and smash him into the mat to get out of the hold.
Yep.
What's stopping anybody else on Earth from doing that now?
Yep, that's exactly that. That's one of the things that I always thought about that move. It's like you're leaving yourself super exposed, and Edge is one of the first people that I can remember to actually kind of do it and just like kind of make that move seem redundant.
Well, and then it got even funnier because
yes,
now AJ manages to hold back in on the calf crusher, but here we go again. Edge reaching for the rope, talking about tapping out. Dude, just do the thing you did a minute ago. Not even a minute. Like, you just did this. It worked. Maybe not completely, but it probably would have worked if you did it again. Better than doing what you were doing. So, I don't know. This is the only thing that bothered me about this, because I remember when I saw the sharpshooter reverse for the first time. It was the Bret Owen cage match, right? And it was like finding out how a magic trick was done. It's like, of course Bret knows how to reverse the sharpshooter. He's the master of it. Of course, we all know it was invented in Japan, but still, he's the master of it. And it just made this move. Even if I was a kid, if I was a kid wrestling fan, I would have gone, okay, so the calf crusher is useless. Why aren't we doing this? Why are we making this a thing? Anyway, that's not the end of the match, because we continue. Edge does get to the ropes after AJ gets that calf crusher on again, but he's being pulled off the ropes by AJ into a German suplex, where Edge pulls the turnbuckle pad off the middle rope. Whenever there's zip ties holding the turnbuckles on, you know that turnbuckle pad's coming off. A little hinty there.
Yep.
But we get that, and then Edge goes to spear, but AJ moves out of the way, and Edge spears himself into the exposed turnbuckle. That's the end of the match, right? Nope. Ooh. Kick out at 2. Okay, so now exposed steel isn't a thing anymore. We then get to AJ heading to the top rope to try and figure out a way to do the phenomenal forearm without having to pull himself onto the top rope the way he normally does. And then he's distracted, as in the aisle, but not at ringside. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. It's Damian Priest. So he's in the aisle. Yeah. He's pointing. I'm in the aisle. Now, he's out there for maybe a minute, and all of a sudden, the crowd is losing their minds. So you know what's happening. We got us a run-in save, baby, and Finn Balor comes out. All of a sudden, not only is Damian Priest at ringside, but he's in the ring. He's getting knocked around the ring. Him and Finn Balor are fighting all over the place. Now, by the stipulation of the match, shouldn't that have been an automatic disqualification win for AJ Styles?
100%. That was, as much as I enjoyed this match, the overbooking of this ending really took me out of it. But I overall did enjoy it, but let's keep going.
Yeah, not knocking the work here, just the little, yeah, little things that, even as a young wrestling fan, if I'm trying to explain this to, you know, if I got a niece or nephew over and we're watching wrestling, because Uncle Mike watches wrestling all the time, whether we want to or not, you know, and they hit me with the question the kids will do. Why isn't the match over if he broke the rule? And my answer has to be, then that's what we got. So anyway, that gets rid of Damian Priest. We have a big distraction. As this is going on, a hooded figure emerges. Now, I don't know where the hooded figure came from. Do you?
No, I have no idea. I'm assuming the crowd area, but it just kind of showed up.
Maybe hopped the rail anyways. I like how you said it. It just showed up. Because Byron Saxton was completely convinced that it wasn't an it. It wasn't a they. It was definitely a he. Who is he? We get to that after the point where the hooded figure pulls AJ off the top rope, causing Edge to hit the crossface. AJ passes out from the pain. The hooded figure then makes her way into the ring. We all know it's Rhea Ripley, but this person still stands in front of Edge, who then proves it's Rhea Ripley by the height difference alone. They take a knee together. before the hood off, and whoever he, as Byron Saxton, is yelling, "Who is he? Who is he?" Wouldn't you know, it's Rhea Ripley, and she's dyed her hair black, and this crowd loved her hairstylist.
Yep. Did you?
They went crazy for her.
They did. It was great. I love that moment. It's like you actually get a pop out of something that is so obvious. I loved it.
We all got a prediction right. Yay! I mean, I think it's a great thing for her. I'm not going to sit here and smack talk it at all, because we've all been saying we need Rhea Ripley to become a badass heel, and this is going to be the way in current WWE that we get that, because, you know, Edge is the bad guy right now, I guess. He's the guy to beat when it comes to being the baddest guy on the roster. And by that, I mean, like, as a villain. I don't know if I mean that as an imposing force, but that's what he's building with this faction, so we'll see what happens. That match time, by the way, 15:35 is what we got out of that one. Excuse me. Then we have a promo, again, this time, for what some people thought could be the main event. It's the only title match on the card. It's the I Quit match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey. I'm going to make you tap, bitch. Repeat. That's the promo. We kick off in the ring after Ronda's smiling and tagging hands and kissing babies. Charlotte's being Charlotte. And then Charlotte immediately tries to go for the big boot. Ronda has the brains, outsmarts her, and brings in some judo throws. Flair gets the advantage again. They're fighting on the outside. Chops all around, reversals all around. And then the storyline of this feud, the kendo stick. The great wrestling tradition of the kendo stick. You know, I can't think, but, you know, Luthez going back to his kendo stick days and Frank Gotch. Anyway, we have this moment where Ronda gets a hold of the kendo stick and Flair makes a run for the backstage area where she comes out with two kendo sticks.
Oh,
so now
drama.
It's like the scene from 89 Batman where the one guy comes with all the swords and everything. No, that was Batman Returns, where he comes with all the swords and everything. And then all of a sudden, we're in a kendo stick fight. Charlotte actually gets the kendo stick advantage, which made all the sense in the world. And then Flair actually rips a camera out of a cameraman's hands, and Ronda is out cold. Flair tries to run, though, and Ronda makes chase again. The rest of this match honestly sounded like a horror movie from the 1980s or 90s. Like, it was great. Don't get me wrong. I believe that each of these girls could say I quit at any moment. Like, I'm not knocking the delivery, but man, was it a lot of horrible screaming.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that sound in general. Even if it's in a wrestling match, it just makes your skin crawl, but they sold it hard. We get Ronda working Charlotte's arm. Flair is going for Ronda's legs, so at least we have that story being told. They try everything on each other to try and make the submission worse. There's a moment where they're out in the stands, and Flair has Ronda bent over backwards, one of those handrails, you know, those pipes that go up the staircase in the middle, and she's got her bent over backwards in one of those. Oh, they're calling each other bitch about 100 times, and then we get back to the ring where, after using the ring post, after using chairs, gravity to try and get the advantage, Charlotte finally grabs the microphone and says to Ronda, "This is your last chance," before wishing her a happy Mother's Day. Oh, boy.
Yep.
Boy, oh boy. The most lethal words in all of sports entertainment. Oh, it's no longer RKO. It's no longer RK-Bro. It's Happy Mother's Day. But what that will do is it'll trigger your opponent into an uncontrollable, controlled rage where they will have the foresight to use a chair to pull your arm through, lock an armbar in, and then, when you still aren't submitting, pull even harder. Charlotte finally says, "I quit." Your winner and new SmackDown Women's Champion, Rowdy Ronda Rousey, 16:35.
I like this. I really did like this overall. I thought it was better than the WrestleMania match. You know, the screaming did get a little much, but, you know, you believe that they were really hurt.
Yeah.
Everything, anytime the ref kind of did hold the mic by them, it was worth it. Like, it kind of added to it. The last, like, what, 5 minutes of the match were really well done. Yeah, it was kind of had an idea Ronda was going to win, but I was content. I was happy.
Gregory from Liverpool is thumbs down on that. Huge. Doesn't like that at all. Okay, well, Gregory, feel free to show your work why you didn't like it. But it was what it was. It was a women's championship match. Ronda Rousey's got the title. Now maybe we'll do something with her. You know, who's going to come for her? Is it going to be Charlotte just going after the title again? Is this going to be a chase back and forth? Because honestly, these two have about as much chemistry as mud.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot going on. I don't feel the intense rivalry. I felt it in the match tonight. Like, they delivered in the match, but all the buildup beforehand, meh. Oh, Gregory wanted Charlotte to win. I'm sorry, pal. I'm sorry. Good news, the Charlie doll is on sale at WWE Shop if you want it. I keep meaning to get one for Mark Andrade to match the doll that his baby already has, but I there it is right there. Yeah. I keep looking at it, though, and I'm like, yeah, that's money. That's money best kept in my pocket. Anyway, love you, Mark. So we now have another promo, another 3-minute promo for undoubtedly one of the greatest rivalries going on, and that is Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin. What a tragic breakup. This was worse than a betrayal at Temptation Island. I don't know.
I was trying to think of something witty to say, but I had nothing.
Because you're not as good a comedian as Madcap Moss. That's why. Neither am I. Well, Andrade's probably better than all of them. But, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, okay, we needed this match. I'm not sold with part-timers with title belts. Well, then you're not sold on modern-day wrestling, Greg.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
Ronda's not a part-timer.
She's a TV timer. She's not on the road. But yeah, she is doing a full TV schedule. And remember, she's got life too. So, I mean, she's doing her job on the road. But yeah, that does take another title off the road, I guess, if you look at it that way. I don't know if that matters or not, though. I was trying to figure out tonight where WWE's stance on titles are, because, again, only one was on the line. Anyway, let's get through the review of Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin. This is what I wrote. Lots of brawling. Corbin actually does some wrestling moves. Madcap wins by pinfall at 9:48.
That's the match, boys and girls.
That was the, you know, and no disrespect to either guy, because while people will like to poo-poo on Corbin all you want, dude has been doing his job. His job is to get everybody to hate him. Everybody. That includes smart internet fans. And he does it and does it well. So that's not knocking on it. It's just, you know, if you're going to throw no stakes in this match other than, hey, I'm better than you, or hey, you're a jerk, that's the match then. That's the match. It was a nice little exchange. It was less than 10 minutes. We're done. Right? I mean, at least with Lashley and Omos, we have the betrayal factor of MVP. We have an outside interest in this thing. This is just two guys that don't get along. That's wrestling. That's wrestling. Anyway. Main event time. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
No, you're not ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
No, because we need another 4-minute video package to promote this same match with the same package we saw at the start of the show. So we're going to get it. And we're going to watch it. And we're going to get this inexplicable reason why we're going to unify these titles. Psych. Nah, we're not going to do that now. Why? Because Paul Heyman doesn't want to anymore. Oh, okay. Why? Because the Tribal Chief doesn't want to do it anymore. Okay, why? Because he wants to fight Drew McIntyre. Okay, title match for Drew. No. We're going to have a 6-man tag. Okay. So that's our main event tonight. Now, that being said, Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin did their job, and they were the cool-off match. They were the cool-off match after the I Quit match, which, again, the match 1,000 times better than the rivalry has been. But we get Randy Orton, Riddle, and Drew McIntyre versus the Bloodline, Roman Reigns with Jimmy and Jey Uso. McIntyre enters first. The crowd, once again, white hot. Finally, a real star again. Woo! RK-Bro enter, doing their RK-Bro thing, and they've been changing the creatures that fly out of Riddle's sandals now. On SmackDown, I don't know if you saw, it was giraffes.
Yep.
And then we've had, oh, I don't know what else, but tonight, they did this one before, it was grasshoppers, and of course the guys made jokes with the smoke coming off the grasshoppers, and weed. The best part of this is, you know how Orton and Riddle do this combined pose now, where they do the release the doves pose together? There's poor Drew McIntyre on the side, and clearly these guys did not work out a pre-match pose.
Yep.
Because Drew's standing there, and he basically throws out like a Young Bucks pose, flexing his giant arms off to the side, which was funny, but at the same time, he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's like, yeah, you guys probably should have planned this out beforehand. But they do their thing. They hit the corners, and again, Drew, I don't know what to do with my hands. So he just stands there in the middle. Well, RK-Bro are just sucking all the charisma out of the room because they're just taking it all and they're giving it right back out in love. And Drew's like, yeah, I'm here too. Okay. So then we get the Bloodline coming out. Big pop. All the gold, all the titles coming out. And 15 minutes later, they're actually in the ring. We get to a beautiful group pose, but they've been doing this for a while together now, so they know what they're doing. And we get to the match. The story of this match is, when will Roman actually get involved? When is Drew McIntyre going to get his hands on Roman Reigns? That's the whole point to this match happening. Well, it's not going to happen right away, because we have Roman tag himself into the match right off the hop because everybody's wanting it. The fans are wanting it. McIntyre's wanting it. And he tags himself right back out again. Beautiful heat spot. Beautiful heat. Just gets that. It's not even a spot. It's just a tactic. It's a wonderful throwback to, I'm not going to give you what you want.
Yeah, I loved it. That was great. Just the crowd reaction was the best. And Roman just saying, you know, I'm the show caller. I'm the head of the table. That was great.
Yeah, I call the shots. I go in when I want to go in. So we have one of the Usos in there. Riddle basically just takes all the heat in this match. He just gets pounded on over and over again. The Usos, but McIntyre finally gets tagged in. Lots of triple teaming, as you expect. These matches are always the hardest ones to kind of keep track of, because they always have so much stuff going on everywhere. But McIntyre is out at one point in which Roman decides to have a belt pose break. by the way, hey, I'm the champion. This is a perfect distraction, though, is because McIntyre uses this to hit a Claymore. Orton tags in, and it's an RKO out of nowhere to Roman Reigns. Crowd is losing their minds, so why not do an RKO to Jimmy Uso? Oh, Lord, RKOs for everywhere. Dear goodness. I swear, if either one of us, Boris, were in the vicinity of that man, we too may have suffered an RKO.
Yeah,
luckily.
If you're the 5-foot radius, you're going to get RKO'd for sure.
Mark Andrade, you need to look behind you. Is Randy Orton there right now? Because look out! You could be getting RKO. No, I think he went to the bathroom. I think that's exactly what happened. Oh, there he is. Yeah, come on. You're okay. Oh, he RKO'd your
muted.
Audio.
He's muted.
He RKO'd your mute button. That's what happened.
That's what I was trying to tell you. He came in and he RKO'd my microphone. So all my settings are messed up. I'll be back in a
Glad you took the time to explain that to us.
Hey, no problem.
All right, so back to the match. We have more shenanigans outside. Randy Orton eats a Superman punch as a receipt from Roman. And somehow, we get down to Riddle and Roman being the last legal men in the match. And after a schmoz in the ring, once again, Roman Reigns hits the spear, pins Riddle. 1, 2, 3. That is the match. No after effects, no surprise finishes. Nobody coming out to challenge. No real end to this other than saying, hey, we beat them. The heels win. And that is WrestleMania Backlash. Boris.
I was shocked with that ending. I honestly thought that they were going to do something where McIntyre pinned someone from the other team just to set up a program with Roman Reigns. This match meant nothing. There were no stakes. So the Bloodline didn't need to win per se. So I'm not sure kind of what the train of thought is right now.
I honestly thought that when they took away the title unification, that gave a perfect reason for RK-Bro to win.
Yeah.
That gave them the perfect reason to win, because then we don't have to worry about them losing the titles. So the road shows are safe. The tours are safe, because people love RK-Bro as champions. It's a great pairing. You can see the fun radiating off of them. It's all great. But yeah, there was no real tie to this other than let's see the good guys win and the bad guys lose. And we didn't even get that. So Clearly there's still issues in the air with this. There's still problems. I don't know. Where do we go from here? And those of you on Patreon, if you're texting in or chatting in as well, where do you want to see this go? Let us know.
Yep. That's the thing, right? Like I said, I honestly thought Drew McIntyre was going to set up a program, you know, that in between before Cody program, I'm guessing, with Roman Reigns. And today, if he got a win, especially over Reigns, even if it wasn't clean or 100% legal or whatever, would have been great. No stakes, but I don't know where they go now. I'm assuming that's still the direction, but it would have meant a lot more if McIntyre got the win.
Mark, I'm hitting you with this only because we've done it every other show. Do we have a poll for which match people enjoyed tonight? And if we don't, that's okay.
No poll tonight.
No poll. We put in almost as many polls as there were title matches tonight on this show. Almost. Yeah. But that's okay. Mark, let me ask you, you watched the show?
I did watch the show, yeah.
What stood out for you as your highlight of tonight's WrestleMania Backlash?
Oh, geez. I think the thing that I just can't get over, and you all touched on this, was Charlotte and Ronda not main eventing. I just don't understand why they didn't main event. I can't get past it. Ronda won the belt. What a great way to go out. That would have been perfect.
And that's, you know? The other point is, so you have a match where you not only crown a new champ, it's a face winning, but that's not your main event. Your main event, in fact, is the heels winning, and everyone kind of goes home, you know, with the heel win. Interesting choices.
Yeah.
I almost think that on that note, then, if that's supposed to be the big draw for the night, if you're going to push that Roman Reigns is the big star and the tribal chief, then nobody, you know, the show goes on until he's done. Have him go first. Have that match be first if you know that the heels are going to win.
Exactly.
Because even the Cody win would have been better than this to finish the show off. But I agree with you, Mark. Like, I'm old school in the sense that I believe the title should always be the last match. And if you only have one title, then that's the way. Although, you know, that's not true either, because everybody that was there agrees that Hogan Rock should have been the last match at WrestleMania 18.
Special.
There's been other shows like that too, but that's just it. This wasn't even that special. It wasn't that special that it should have outdone a championship match.
No, if anybody's special, it's Ronda and Charlotte. You know what I mean? Like, if we're going to talk about, like, Rock Hogan not closing, like, yeah, because you have two megastar celebrities. Well, Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair. Like, I mean, and then you add to that there was a title change, for goodness sakes.
I don't understand what's going on with Ronda Rousey. I don't understand if she's reluctant or if they're reluctant to do something with her, because when she came out of Royal Rumble, my honest to God gut feeling was, okay, that is the hottest star in WWE now. I said that to Meltzer on one of our shows, and he's like, well, we'll see how long it lasts, and he was right. He was right, and I didn't want to believe it, but sure enough, she is tepid at best, getting close to ice cold now, and she's the champion now. So how do we get some fire under this? How do we make Ronda Rousey matter again, and I'm not saying as a performer. I mean, the match was great tonight. I'm not knocking her efforts or anything, but I'm like, just everything towards this is like, meh.
Yeah. With Ronda, honestly, at this point, I'm looking at the SmackDown roster. I don't see anyone that would be able to have a half decent match with her at this point. And I just mean, like, in terms of not just in ring, I'm talking about, like, do I care? Is this anything I want to watch? So is this the opportune time to bring back Bayley?
Oh, see, now you're talking. Now you're talking. Is it Bayley?
Because remember, they did announce, you know, gimmick-wise or story-wise, that that Charlotte broke her arm. So she's probably out for a couple months or weeks at least. So now what? The door's open for knock knock, right? Ding dong.
A fractured radius. Yep. And thank God for Pat McAfee. The more this guy works, the more I just love this dude. And this is coming from a guy that wanted to be a commentator my whole life. Like, I would love to have been on one of those announce tables. But for him to jump in immediately and do the one thing they have never done when they have these made-up injury announcements, he explained exactly which bone was the radius and the radial bone in the arm. He pointed out it's the inside one, not the outside one. It's a broken arm.
That was awesome.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. And, you know, because at first I was like, "Hey, what's a broken? Yeah, I'm not a doctor." So anyway,
there was one other McAfee moment in this night that I needed to point out. And I forget what match it was. I think it was the women's match. And he basically made this comment as, "Is that a little fiend in the first row there?"
That was during the women's match. Yeah, when they were outside and Ronda was doing the thing on the corner. Yeah, is that the fiend in the front row? Like, dead out. Like,
can you imagine like how many people were screaming in his ear at that very moment?
No, I think he gets a pass now.
You know what?
Dude, dude just wrestled at WrestleMania, won a match, and wrestled Vince McMahon, and highlighted with Steve Austin. Pat McAfee could go on there and basically read an AEW manifesto at this point and be fine. Like, this guy is getting away with murder, and God love him for doing it, because it's great to see. It does liven up the show, and I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, but I don't see where there's anything wrong with what he's doing.
Did you notice how quiet Corey Graves was for the main event just because of McAfee?
Well, yeah, you can't have two of them going off like that.
Exactly.
That's smart, though. That's smart.
Yeah,
and Graves doesn't seem like the guy that cares. Like, he's there to do his job. Remember what he was doing? It got to the point where he was mentioning it on commentary, how many shows he was doing a week, because he was the guy. He was the guy they were using for everything. And you couldn't help but feel for the guy, because I've been that guy at my job. We've all been that person at our jobs where you got to do everything. And it's for a short term sometimes. Sometimes it's for a longer term.
Yep.
And it does get to the point where you just want to go on the air and say, ugh. And then, here's a great note here. It says, I liked Graves correcting the other announcers when they said Cody has been inactive for 6 years. Yeah, he was a little more active. Have you watched, by the way, the Broken Skull session with Cody yet?
I have not. That's, like, on my to-do right after this. I have it recorded.
It's pretty great. It starts out a little weird.
Weird awkward?
No, just weird. Just weird. You'll see what I mean. They talk more about watches and stuff at the beginning, and I don't know. Like, I got to hang out with Cody a few years back, and he was cool then, and I'm sure he's still cool now. It's it's like how I hang out with rich friends, you know, with people that you know just are better than you or think they're better than you, and they have nicer stuff than you, and they have to tell you how much nicer it is than your stuff. It's one of those people. I don't think I could go clothing shopping with Cody Rhodes, is what I'm saying. Not that I go clothing shopping with any of my actual friends, but it's like,
I was gonna say, is this what you partake in? We're gonna do?
That's what we're doing when I come to Toronto.
Yes. Sunday night,
Sunday night's main event shopping party. We're gonna is Eaton Center still a thing? Is that where
it's
we go?
It's still a thing. Still a thing.
Well, I don't know where we go. Anyway.
We can take him to Pacific Mall, get him some fake watches, Mark.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. I like it. Yeah, Mark seems like a guy that would know where all the shady places are to buy stuff.
No, Boris for sure. Boris was giving me tips on all kinds of illegal streaming things.
Zip that thing up.
I'm so sorry.
Who's this Boris? Who's this Boris you talk of?
Right. So sorry.
Thank you.
Never mind.
Dear,
you guys were both reacting the same way to two different things.
Two totally different things. I thought we were both doing the bit on the banana, and then all of a sudden Boris goes off on this. Yeah, he's really trying to get the point in that he's not shifty, which means he's really shifty.
Which is the most
exactly.
shifty.
Exactly. It's always the guy like, wow, you guys smell it. Somebody farted in here. Clearly it was somebody, not me. That's Boris right there. Where do you? You got to teach me how to do all this stuff, man. I want to have fun. Okay, I don't want that one.
Teach you how to do what?
Nothing.
Yeah, we're good. Boris hates all these bits. That's the, like watching Boris hate these bits is the highlight.
I don't hate them at all. Okay. Trust me. No.
I worry that this pig character that you are right now is having a stroke because I'm seeing like the eye droop and I'm wondering, you know, like hold your arms out a little longer.
I am absolutely having a stroke. I got these things for days. I've got an endless number of these things.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Hamburgers, me too. I got cheeseburgers for days. Cheeseburgers for days.
I feel sorry for anyone listening to the podcast version of this right now.
So I describe myself in a bathing suit.
All the more reason you should come
suit.
To the live, at least show up in the YouTube, you know?
Yeah, watch for free in YouTube or be a patron and be a part of this. Mark, Cheeseburger Mark, I understand that we do have some patrons that have hands up. So where are we going?
We are going to, we'll go to Tom first.
Oh, is this the guy that doesn't wear a shirt? Yeah, this is the guy that doesn't wear a shirt, right?
I think it might be. Tom, are you wearing a shirt? Come on up.
All right, here's the draw.
Tom, you will need to unmute your microphone and you will need to turn your camera on, Tom.
And only your camera, Tom.
No. Tom's going to show up and he's going to turn all of us on. Tom is not coming up.
Neither's anything slowly else except maybe my cheeseburger.
Hey, wait, what? Turn that camera on there for us, Tom. Mike, Boris, are your cameras on?
My camera is on.
My camera is on.
Hey,
Tom.
Is Tom in the abyss? Is Tom in that weird third dimension that Homer Simpson got sucked into on the Treehouse of Horror?
Yeah,
like
probably. So I would like, I don't know what I'm doing.
There he is.
Hey, Tom.
So Mike.
Yeah, Tom.
I would just like to say you're a great interviewer and I hope you have a great trip around Canada.
Oh, thanks, pal.
Andrade, Madcap Moth could sweep you under the rug with your comedy.
Fair enough.
And I think tonight there was great wrestling from beginning to end and everything was positioned in the right spots.
You liked everything.
Like, even with Omos, it was just there. It broke things up. The right guy won. That was it. With Madcap and Corbin, it was just there. It broke things up. It was just there. But everything else was great. And everything had its spot. And everything delivered what it much more than we could have hoped.
If I can quote the great Lois McGuire, there's a place for everything and everything in its place, and they hit all that on the head is what you're saying.
And now, all we need is for the AEW party to finally come to Canada, and I do not know when that's happening.
Right? I've been every week, and there's a guy at the AEW media, and I will tell you, we are going to have more AEW stars on the main show coming up in the future here, but I've been begging them to give us Tony Khan. Give us Tony Khan! We want to talk to them and get them up here to Canada, so.
Yes.
Anyway.
The party would be amazing in Canada, no matter where it was.
Exactly. Even if it was at Tom's backyard.
Yes, and behind my condo would be amazing.
All right. Hey, let me ask you something. What jersey are you wearing, Tom? Toronto Rock. Toronto Rock. You guys are in the playoffs.
The team that actually made the playoffs.
Hey, I agree, man. I agree.
Going on to the semifinals.
I'm
like those Saskatchewan Rocks.
Well, hey, dude, if I was on the field, we wouldn't have done any better. So I have nothing I can say about it. So, but no, you know, I'm actually happy to see you wearing an NLL jersey. I mean, I'm happy to see you wearing anything, but especially an NLL jersey, because that's very cool to see. So thank you, Tom. Was there anything else you wanted to say tonight?
I'm excited for at the MDAF homecoming party. It's going to be another wild, crazy night on Wednesday, and AEW will show WWE how to run a program on the island of New York.
on what is it he calls it? The most magical place on earth, Long Island.
Yes.
There you go. Yes. Boris, anything you want to ask Tom before we go here?
Happy to see a Toronto Rock shirt, even though they're not really playing anywhere near Toronto, but I'll accept.
Hey, where do they play? Where do they play?
In Hamilton right now.
What?
Where they started. Yeah. I guess it's closer to where the community is.
Wow.
And I guess it's cheaper to play out there than it is in downtown Toronto.
Man, that's cheap. Like, no, yes. I'm not knocking the team here. I hate it when anybody does that. You know, it's like, we're the Toronto team, but we're actually playing in, like, you know.
That is my biggest pet peeve.
In Brampton.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Yeah. No, you're not. You're in Anaheim. That's it.
Yeah.
Back to wrestling.
All right, there you go. Tom, thank you very much, pal.
Well,
great talking.
Thanks, Tom. Back again for
shit.
Oh, God.
I'm disappointed, Tom. I'm disappointed.
Really, Mark?
I'm disappointed. You can take your shirt off. All of us, we should all have our shirts off. For those of you who don't remember, Tom once showed up with his shirt off, and it has been a running bit for me personally ever since.
Yes, it is.
I've got to cross the border in a couple of weeks. I don't want any footage of me without a shirt online right now.
Mike.
Come on, everybody.
Mike, just keep your shirt on.
You're telling me. You're telling me to keep a shirt on.
Hey, you keep your shirt on, and I will go get that green jersey down the hallway for next time.
Hey, you know what? Do you have a Rush jersey?
I have? No.
Okay.
I've got the legit jersey of Saskatchewan. The big number S thingy.
Yeah, but they don't pay me, so I don't care. I tell you what, if I can get my mitts on one, I will be in touch with you, and I will send you a Saskatchewan Rush jersey, just as a thing of friendship. Okay.
Sounds good.
Because you're wearing an NLL jersey tonight, and I love our league. I really do.
It is a great league.
Toronto Hamilton Rock. So.
All right.
All right, Tom, thank you very much. We got one more hand up there, Mark.
We do. We sure do. It's Chris Gaskin, our dear pal, Chris Gaskin.
Hey! They're coming on up. Chris with the better backdrops than us usually. Where is he?
Here he is.
And usually the better
there
jokes.
There we go.
Look at this guy.
There he is.
I got it. Took me a while to jump in. I'm in.
You have your own Bullet Club shirts, too?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. I got to get doing comedy in BC, apparently, because, like, that's where it's at.
We all got our own one. and I mean, we've also got a guy in Bullet Club that's from here in BC, so.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, too. But
I'm going to be in BC in a few weeks.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Vancouver, and I forget. I don't actually know where my brother lives. It's just outside of Vancouver, like 30 minutes from there. Yeah.
I live in Vancouver, so
there you go.
This sounds like the girlfriend from Calgary routine.
A little bit. You know, it's like,
I'm gonna go see my brother in Vancouver. Yeah. Yeah, he lives I don't know where he lives in Vancouver, but he's in Vancouver.
I don't know where my brother lives.
Hey, the Vancouver Giants play out in Langley, so I mean it's, you know, we've got that sort of thing happening here too.
So do the Warriors, the lacrosse team there. They play out in Langley and not in Vancouver, even though they're Vancouver. So yeah. I don't know if you have you ever been to one of those games?
I have been. Actually, last time I went, not to the Warriors. I've yet to go to an NLL game, and I'd love to. Last time I went to a Giants game, my hometown team was playing, and they came from behind to tie it up score in overtime. And I was one of three people, like, throwing the flag up. And then these two guys in front turned back and they're like, "Oh, loudest you've been all night." And I was like, you weren't here during the first period. You get to say nothing." Yeah. And they were like, fair enough.
I like it when fans get on each other for how loyal they are. It's
almost
like wrestling fans.
100% like wrestling fans. It's sickening and fun at the same time. I really enjoyed the show.
Yeah. Tell us about what you thought tonight.
I enjoyed the show. I also went in with zero expectations. Mm-hmm. And I thought this show was great for in-ring work with a lot of terrible finishes. but it, you know, it didn't really dispel from the show as a whole. I mean, Omos Lashley, I thought was going to suck, and it sucked slightly less than I thought it was going to suck. So I was 100% on board with that. I did not like the finish of Cody and Seth. I did not like the finish of, I thought the Omos one made sense, but I was like, yeah, that's kind of a cop out. The roll up, I literally turned to my cousin and said, like, this is the finish. And it was like 1, 2, 3. And he was like, a sunset flip. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. But I thought the action was good. I thought that women's match was great. I thought that the finish was excellent in that. I thought the six-man tag, I mean, that heat lasted forever, just building up to that hot tag. I think almost a little too long, but that's my taste, is I like to see action, and sometimes that build-up, man, I could get bored during, but man, when that hot tag was made, they went, and they went hard, and it was awesome.
I can almost see that being a call from the elder statesman in the ring too, like, let it build, because you notice that, especially with guys that have been in the ring for a long time, they'll always say, like, you can crescendo it even to its highest point and then let it go. And
oh, of course.
So I'm with you too. I like, you know, let's get going. So,
and it's sometimes where it's like, it, whether or not it gets frustrating if the build is so long. Like, I don't want it to get frustrating. I want to enjoy the match. And I mean, if I watch New Japan, like, I love an Okada match. And those matches build slowly, but they are constantly peaking and valleying throughout, and, like, building to these spots, cooling it down for a little bit, having a nice extended heat, going into another shine, building back to the heat. And this was just, like, out the gate, go, and then straight into the heat. And it was just heat. Oh, didn't make the tag yet. More heat. Do you want more heat? Here's some more heat. And it finally, the tag was made. And then I was on the edge of my seat the rest of that match. And I was like, this is great. Like, yeah, I even thought, again, AJ Edge overbooked finish. But I thought, like, the action... Oh. I thought it was good. I thought it was very good. Just that finish. And yeah, the way the calf crusher was turned over, I was like, ah, that's a bummer. But like, I think those two gel really well together. And I mean, like I said, I thought this show was better than it had any right to be. Just the action alone, I walked out going like, I had a good time. So
I'm glad you're recognizing WrestleMania Backlash's right to exist, if nothing else, because that was on. But honestly, you know, if you look at the way some fans were talking about this show, even myself and Meltzer earlier on in the show today, we were like, it's going to be a show. But he made a great point.
I had that thought coming in, too. Like, yeah. I went to my cousins and went, hey, yeah, I guess we're watching it. I don't know.
He made a point where it was booked like a good TV episode would be. And honestly, yes. That's not a bad argument to say, because it didn't feel like a pay-per-view. And if you want to take the premium live event and make it a new definition for whatever it is we watch every month, and maybe it doesn't have to be title match, fine. Just don't bill it the same way you have in the past, you know?
Yeah, I can see what you're saying, and I don't quite disagree with that. But I also, I mean, you know, we're heading into the season of the named match pay-per-views now.
Right.
And it's like, man, I miss the days of like Bad Blood and Insurrection and, you know, Judgment Day and Vengeance, where I don't know when a Hell in a Cell is going to happen. And the second it's announced, I'm excited for it. I'm shaking my friend. We're going to see it. And now it's like, another 5 Hell in a Cell matches coming up next month.
Can we bring up the greatest disappointment in named pay-per-views? And that was not one fireball being used at Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, great. I was at Stomping Grounds, and there were barely any stomps at that one, too. So
There you go. Yeah. If nothing else. Yeah. Cool, man. Boris, any questions for Chris here?
No, man, just thanks for chiming in, and like you said it best, honestly, going in with low expectations was probably the best route to take, and you ended up having fun.
Yeah, I genuinely had fun with that show, and I'm glad I had low expectations. So, but I mean, like I said, even if I had decent expectations, like I thought at least, three of those matches, and it was only six matches. I thought those three matches, Cody Seth, Edge AJ, and the six man, oh, and the women's, like the women's
Women's.
blew my expectations out of the water. So four of those matches, aside from finishes in two of them, were like excellent matches. So I mean, even if I came in like hyped up for this show, I think I would have left going like that was a good show. So I'm glad I went in with low expectations because it made me even happier at the end. But I really genuinely think it was a good show.
Chris, before you go, we're going to take this around the triad of the three of us here. Tommy Lang, chatting in our chat room here from Patreon, says, "My favorite part of the show may be WWE not feeling like every program has to progress at every pay-per-view. There are a lot of feuds right now that weren't even mentioned tonight. They have time to build to Hell in a Cell." That's
Yes.
a great point. We didn't see anything Kevin Owens. We didn't have Ezekiel, which, by the way, I am sporting my Walk with Elias shirt in memory of Ezekiel's brother. But it's one of those things where we often talk about how sometimes WWE would only focus on one story, where back in the day, every character had a feud. Even in the Attitude Era, every guy, every girl had something they were chasing or mad at or against, and it made sense. Now we have an abundance of feuds, and we're not putting them all on the pay-per-view. What do you guys think about that?
I think also like giving those matches the time to build and the time to have a good match and build the crowd up, I think that helped so much too. Because when you have, 9, 10 matches in that 3 to 4 hour period, it gets really tiring really fast. And you've got, 6, 7 minute matches, which could be good sprints, but a lot of times it's just not enough to let the crowd build.
Fair enough, Boris.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's there was a lot of stuff left out, but I think that, now we have how many weeks until the next show, right? So
Four. Four.
exactly. So I think
Like
they're just
there's time.
letting it stew, especially
Yeah.
some of the programs. It's like, for example, KO and Ezekiel, right? Like, I don't know where that one is going. I can't even possibly predict where that one's going. But they clearly have a plan for that one to keep going, extending, and we'll see, in 4 weeks what happens. But that's seems to be the theme here in WWE, right? You kind of get four matches, or sorry, six matches or so at a pay-per-view, but there's still like a few stories that they're letting happen on SmackDown and Raw and whatever. Fair
Yeah,
enough.
it's a smart move too. It really is, because it makes you want to tune in, which they've had trouble doing for a while.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We weren't sure if we were going to have anybody show up for this tonight. So, Chris, thank you for being here. Big thanks to Tom as well. Renee is here as well. And Renee says, "Okay, new member, but friends with Matt." Okay. Well, welcome, Renee. We're almost done. And Chris, thank you again, buddy. I'm going
I know.
to.
Thank you, guys.
Do you got a merch site or anything? Do you got a Teespring shop or something we can get that shirt at?
I don't. I actually just get them made locally and sell them at
Oh
shows. I
my
really
gosh.
should
All
do
right.
that. Honestly, I've been looking into like getting buttons to take on the road because like packing, 100 shirts when I go on tour, it sucks.
Yeah, that's fair, but that's the price of being an unprecedented success. That's, when you become a national treasure, Chris, you're just gonna have to deal with this.
Wow, I'm so not any of those things.
Not yet, and not if you keep telling
No.
yourself that. No, you won't be.
All right. I got to get out of here before this turns into the secret.
All you have to do is will it to happen, Chris. Will
I
it to
will. I
happen.
will. I will. Have a good night, boys.
Thanks,
Take
buddy.
care.
It's good when the guests are signing themselves off the show. That's
We
All
have the
right.
power.
Let's see here. We have quite a lot here. what's this? Can we touch on the lineup and the order? What happened to building to the close? Dude, you came late. That's what happened. but do we have any more hands up, Mark? Do we have anybody else who wants to chime in on this?
Last call for hands. Click the raise hand feature. Hands. Yep.
Last call for hands.
Currently, no.
That's okay. That's okay. You know what? It's Mother's Day. People got to work tomorrow. Again, yeah. we're back to Sunday pay-per-views for this one, or sorry, premium live events. And we get it if your life is busy, or frankly, if you just kind of didn't give a flying F about tonight's show. I think overall, I was pleasantly surprised, though. I enjoyed what we got tonight. Like I said, I was kind of doing stuff while taking notes, while doing the review and everything. But at the same time, it was a pretty great show. Pretty great show. Worth a watch. Probably more than Raw will be tomorrow night, to be honest. But then again, who knows? Maybe we'll get some storyline progressions. The one thing I do know, Mark Andrada, is that you are going to have to be ready to take some notes, my man, because I will be on the road at the exact time which Monday Night Raw begins its broadcast. So,
sounds delightful.
I know. Awesome. I can't wait. You're running the game tomorrow, pal.
So, yeah. So, Renee, we did touch on that actually already. So, Ronda, Charlotte stole the show. A lot of people probably think that. We were earlier talking about the fact that, you know, I guess it's the old school in Mike, Mark, and myself that the title belt should be main eventing. So we did touch on that. It was kind of weird that they let the heels win to end the show. So that was a little odd. So that's it's kind of where we touched on that already.
Yeah, but you know what? The great thing about this is you can go back and watch the whole thing on YouTube because it'll be there waiting for you. And it was good. It was a good show. It was a good show. I think. Was it the best show you could watch? Meh. But at the same time, it could be worse. Henry Ross says, I fell asleep watching the pre-show, woke up to Charlotte saying Happy Mother's Day. So thank you guys for the review. You're welcome, Henry. Yeah, you know what? If you got it recorded or if you got the network where you can go back and watch it, give it a gander. Watch that match for sure, start to finish. And since we didn't do a match of the night poll, I'm going to go ahead and choose that as my match of the night, with a close second being Cody and Seth, because I thought the I Quit match delivered on everything it needed to. It made me care a lot more about these competitors than anything they've done in their feud has, and overall it was a pretty solid effort on all. So, Boris, how about you? Match of the night?
Match of the night? I would have to say the women's I Quit match. I think I agree with you. With a very close second, Cody, Seth. Great match, and I think it was the right match to start the show. Like I said, got the crowd hot. Because we talked about it. The crowd was kind of dead for that intro. Cody, even the Cody chants weren't really loud. So I kind of, it got the crowd going for that. And I think, the I Quit match was by far the best.
Mark Andrada, before we go, you're going to get the last word on this. What was your match of the night?
Yeah, we're all in agreement. The I Quit match for sure. 100%.
There you have it. All right. Well, are we good for everybody then? We've taken care of the needs of the many?
We have. I think we have. Yep.
I think we have. And we have another after party later on this month, gents.
May 29th.
We do.
It is the after party after Double or Nothing. Any thoughts going into this show? First of all, you guys have all put in an Owen bracket?
I will.
Boris. I will. Boris. You were the you're one of the first people to comment on the format when I sent it out. You didn't even try it.
I tried it, but I didn't submit.
I did. I submitted.
I know you did, Mark. Thank you. You're a good boy, Mark.
You're welcome.
Why can't you be more like Mark, Boris?
You know, why can't it's the first time in my life.
We try so hard.
You know what? That's it.
All right, let's close this puppy down for the night. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being a part of this. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you for being a part of that as well. And if you're a patron, thank you for supporting this little program we do each and every week, each and every day for you. I'm Mike McGuire. That's Boris Aguilar. That's Mark Andrada. And we will talk to you next time. Good night, everybody.